You know, the Bible says to us that we are not to worry about anything. It'd been nice if Paul said, well, don't worry about some stuff, you know. And he said, don't worry about anything, but instead with prayer about everything, tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Philippians 4:6. Okay, Paul, you're right. I don't think any of us get up in the morning and say, boy, I'm looking forward to worrying today and be anxious. We know it drains us spiritually. It takes away, as Corrie Ten Boom says, worry never robs tomorrow of sorrow. It only saps today of joy. That's what it does. And we've got callers standing by who are going to tell us one thing they've learned, one thing they're applying to their life to deal with worry, because this is all about encouraging you today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Stephen, right here in our Intentional Life Media studios in Tucson, Arizona. Let's go. Emily, you've been waiting longest in Michigan. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. Appreciate your call. How do you deal with worry in your life?
So what I have done, and this is not an instant thing. I definitely say this is a practice, but I look at the difference between being, you know, worry. Okay, something happens, and I might worry. There's a difference for me between that worry and then saying I'm not worried. Like, and I don't want to say that I'm claiming it, but the idea of like I'm not worried. I might have worry in a moment because of something that happens, but then I go back and I say to myself, Why am I worrying? Why do I have this worry? What is going on?
Yeah.
And I will say that the journey part is also realizing that part of my worry was that I wasn't releasing the burden to God. I wasn't letting him have it. I wanted to hold it.
Why do you think we do that? Why is it we want to hang on to this stuff?
You mentioned it earlier, and it was a trust. You know, yeah. We pray these things. Do we actually apply and actually truly trust? And I know I didn't, and I know at times I still don't. And so I allow myself the grace to worry, because that I don't know that, you know, that happens. That's a human thing. And I think that something happens. We weren't expecting it. So now we have a moment of worry. But we also have the ability to release it and say, no, I'm not worried about this. I'm not worried about this because God does have this. And then practicing that over and over and over again allows for, and when you don't have the burden, it's like a chain that's been released. And again, it's not instant. It's a lot of prayer and a lot of practice.
Yeah, I think part of it's control too. I mean, for myself, it's, I would say, well, I'm not worried. I'm just a little bit concerned. So I think I'll take control. And
and often that
doesn't work out so often.
Right, and I know all of us will have stories about what about this?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I have life experiences. I actually am currently an elected office holder, and just this past week was election day, and so was I worried about the election? You know, I discovered at one point during the day that my stomach was in knots and I was sweating. So yeah, I had that moment, but then I'm like, no, I need to release this, and I need to say God's got this, and then really, really live in that.
Amen. Good advice. Thank you, Emily. I know you're busy today. You got to move on. Thank you for your service, too, as well. We appreciate that. Today, my wife and I often comment, boy, men and women who, especially believers, who are willing to give time and service with what's going on in the world today, getting all of the abuse and things that go on in the political world. God bless you for standing in the gap. And thank you for calling today. You know, you're talking about, control, kind of like hanging on to things. It reminds me of what Henry Ward Beecher from Past Generation said, every tomorrow has two handles. We can take hold of it with the handle of anxiety or the handle of faith. But you're going to move into the day with something. And the question is, which handle are you going to hang on to? Which is a good reminder. Talking about the power of one thing to help us with worry in our lives. Thomas, you're next in Michigan. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Appreciate the call. What have you learned?
So to connect us all together, I want to start off by saying there are three things that I've learned. And then because I've learned this, it made me realize what I can do to combat it with God in my life. And so I've learned that you're always going to have uncertainty. You're always going to have some form of pain, whether it's physical or emotional. And there's always going to be some kind of work that you have to do. And so, because I know that these three things are probably primarily true for the rest of my life, I have to learn how to manage them. And so for me, when I start thinking about not just worrying, but I start thinking about like saying things like, I'm tired, I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm upset. I've learned that I'm none of those things. I am not mad. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. I can feel those things, but they're not me. And the moment I started realizing that I could dissociate from those words, the more I realized that when I look at worry, I don't worry. I think. So I replaced the word worry with thinking. Why am I thinking about this? Mm-hmm. Why am I thinking about this? And I start to wonder, why am I thinking about this? And it's probably, you know, a few reasons, you know, and I start asking myself, what have I done in the situation that I'm thinking about? Have I done enough? Is there anything more that I can do? And if not, then does that mean that the rest is out of my control and out of my hands? Yeah. And if I check off those questions, well, yeah, I did everything I could. I'm following everything I can. Then the rest is out of my control. Then at that moment in time, I give it to God. And I say, you know, this is no longer mine to hold. This weight of this thought that I have that doesn't exist, or, you know, whatever is making me feel this way, I'm going to give it over to God. So what I do throughout my day is I start to pray, but I don't ask for anything. I start to think about the blessings I have. And I go mm-hmm. back and look at the testimony that I have in my life and the blessings and the things that the Holy Spirit has shown me and then presented to me. And then I'm living in it. But I have to learn that I need to stop and say, Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you for today. Thank you for your learning. Thank you for taking away things and presenting things. Because if it's mine, it's something that you would give me. It's not something that I need to worry about.
And you know what? There's a biblical basis of what you just said, Thomas, and I'm sure you know that. I mean, one of the most often gone to verses on passages on this thing of anxiety and worries in Philippians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says we're to worry about nothing, right? We've talked about that. And then he gives this little triad of three things we're to do: prayer, supplication, which really means, that's not a word we use today, but supplication meaning really, it's almost like begging. It's like saying, Lord, I need your help on this. You ever find yourself saying, Lord, I'm way over my skis on this thing, and I need your help with these, whatever's going on in my life that I'm worried about. And then the last thing is what you just said, Thomas, with thanksgiving. Prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Lord, I need you big time, and boy, I'm so thankful as I look at the history of what you've done in my life, and I'm thankful for where I am today in my relationship with you. And then the peace will come. It's an amazing thing, and you're right. It starts in our mind. We're to take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ, the Bible says. Whatever is right and pure and admirable and praiseworthy and of good report, Philippians 4:8, think on such things. We're to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, Ephesians chapter 5. As Paul reminds us there that this is a renewal process as we take control of our thinking, which is so important. So you're right on, Thomas. It is a thinking problem. All right, we got some more calls. We're going to get to a quick break. We'll be right back talking about worry, anxiety, and how to deal with it intentionally.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Why do so many of us live in this valley of indecision in our life? Instead of saying yes or no to the issues of life. Anything from the small things of what I'm going to eat next to the big decisions of who am I going to marry. And I thought of five things. First of all, the fear to be wrong. Many people just fear being wrong. They don't want to be wrong. And so people who are indecisive are often people who just fear being wrong. If I'm wrong, I can't deal with making the wrong choice. You know, that's an excerpt from teaching that'll be an encouragement to you from our Intentional Living Center. It's available up on our website to those of you who have said, hey, we want to be a part of this journey of intentional living. We see lives being changed. We get it. Not only are people coming to Christ, but then taking their hand and walking with them and encouraging them through media here and around the world in their journey with the Lord Jesus, and your support makes a difference. And when you join us monthly, we'll give you access to all of that. We'll send you a code and so on. If you don't have it already and you're a monthly supporter, please let us know, because we want you to get access to all that. Share it with your family and friends, your pastor, others who can be encouraged with all of the teaching from Intentional Living. Come join us. Call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Press number 2 or go to theintentionallife.com.
If I would change raising my grandchildren a different way, I don't mean raising, but participating in their lives, I would laugh more. I would simply laugh more, not worry so much, just be there to put smiles on their faces other than buying them things. I thought smiles were buying things and making them happy. Laughing would have been the best thing, and I always taught the gospel, but that sometimes was serious, and I would just have more fun with the grandchildren. Also, my daughters, as they were growing up, I was always very serious. Now that I'm old, I'm not so serious. I can giggle and laugh and see the funny side of things instead of worry.
That's good. You know, speaking of that, Solomon's wisdom in Ecclesiastes 2, near the end of his life, he'd been through Song of Solomon, he'd been through the Proverbs, and now he's looking, reflecting back on wisdom and sharing these thoughts, Ecclesiastes 2. And he made an interesting statement. Come on now. This is kind of like a slap on the side of the head for those of us who worry. Solomon said, you work and you worry your way through life. And what do you have to show for it? Now that's a question. I hope he's not suggesting we shouldn't work, but I think what he's saying is maybe we worry about the wrong thing and work on the wrong things. Get our priorities mixed up. Ecclesiastes 2:22. Back to the calls. Nicholas is in New Mexico. Hi there, Nicholas. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. What's one thing you've learned or practiced on this thing of worry?
Well, I've had so much worry. I was released from incarceration. I was incapacitated for around 12 years, and my father's health, what I was going to do when I got out to work, what I was going to do when I got out to become a productive member of society, and it snowballed from after I was released. I never found myself being in any kind of trouble, and I never found myself back in prison since the time that I was released. And I would give my dad my word that I would do everything in my power to make sure that I never resorted to the things that I did in my past. And the worry that I had was, of course, his health, like I said, my job, my financial stability, what I was going to do for myself as a grown man. And I worried about everything I had. It made my stomach to where I would eat. I couldn't digest my food. It was making me sick. I was losing my hair. And I think that I finally gave up trying to do it myself.
Yeah.
And gave it to God.
Amen. How long ago was this, Nicholas, that you were released, set free?
2018.
That's great. How are you doing today?
I own my own business.
Amen.
I own my own business, and I have my own semi truck.
Yeah.
Kept my word.
Amen. Hey, listen, you spoke to somebody today, brother, and I don't know who it is. Somebody maybe who hasn't been maybe in prison or incarcerated, but been in prison some way in their own life, emotionally or otherwise, and realize you got to make a change. And Nicholas knew that there's a gravitational pull to pull us back into whatever we're not supposed to be doing. Let's face it. One of the things we know about habits, too far off on the topic, but habits, we never get rid of habits, but we can suppress them and change them by replacing them with something better. And but when you start to let up the gas on the gas to the better habits or the ways you want to live, there's almost a gravitational pull back into the old patterns. And we see that. We see that in the lives of people. God will give you freedom. Nicholas, you've experienced that. And what I hear is, almost 10 years later, you're saying, hey, I'm still at it every day. Every day. It's a daily thing. And Nicholas is tearful and thankful. He's got his own business. He's got his own truck. He's doing his work. He's following Christ. And I guess I would ask the rest of us, maybe we've not been down that path. Why is it we allow some of the things that we worry about to so dominate our lives? Know that God loves you. And I said on the show a week ago, two things I said. One was, maybe you're like on a scale of 1 to 10, you're an 8 or 9 worrier. I mean, it's big time. My goal today isn't to say, hey, knock it off, you got to be a 0. But hopefully you can start the process to be intentional, to say, I'm going to change my thinking. I'm going to change how I respond in life. I'm going to start praying more. I'm going to get into God's word. And I'm going to start the process to move from an 8 to a 6. And if you're a 6, you go from a 6 to a 4 and a 4 to a 2, or wherever you are in the process. And some of you who've been at a 1, never been above a 1, you've never worried. And come on now, you know it's easy to say, snap out of it. It's easy to do that. It's easy for each of us until we've experienced it. And I worry some. I don't use the word worry. My wife does. I'm concerned. And you know, really what it is the whole thing that we teach here at Intentional Living about our circle of control. And we all have a little area of control that we have, our minds, our thinking, our words, our actions, right? But some of us put our foot outside our circle of control into areas we don't belong. And the further we get from that area is when we start to can develop real problems. All right. Ann is on the line over in Michigan. Hi, Ann. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. How do you deal with worry? What have you learned?
Well, it's amazing. Intentionally every day, I listen to your program in my kitchen and work in my kitchen.
There you go. Amen. You get the gold star today, Ann.
Well, just today, I had just said, and then I heard it come on in the kitchen. I had just said this. I will not even think about this today. I will not worry because God's got this. I lean on two scriptures because I was told by somebody, and you just got your head in the sand. You need to deal with this. But I stand on the scripture that says, God works all things together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
Right.
And another scripture, my grandson's favorite, and we share this one, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God, you better strengthen me. Jesus, I need you now.
Amen to that. Amen to that, Ann. You're right on. Thank you. I don't know what you all worry about. It's interesting for me, the thing, I worry about my kids. We're not kids anymore. They're married. Worried about our grandkids. Worried about them making sure they know about Jesus and accept the Lord and live a life that'll honor him and bring glory to him, because I know it's going to benefit them as well. And worry some about our country and what's going on in our country, and realize that some of these things we have some control over and many we don't. But to the extent we do, we need to act. Because one of the things we see from the people that I've talked to on worry, there's a decrease in worry when we do what we know we need to be doing. Just sitting and worrying doesn't work. If you have a chair, I always tell people, if you're a worry wart, have a worry wart chair where you sit down and you're going to sit down there with the intention of worrying. Because here's what happens. Once you sit down in your worry wart chair, you stop worrying. Because you've taken the action, you realize this is kind of silly. And so one of the comments that came in on one of the callers saying, when I worry, I realize if there's something I need to do, I can do, I'm going to act on it. Control what I can and know the difference between that and what I can't, which is really a big deal. That's what we're talking about. Okay, Ann, thank you for your call. Quick break. We'll be back. We're talking intentional living and how to tame that worry tiger in your life.
Hi, my name is Ruth, and since listening to your radio station, I wanted to just say that my entire life has changed. I have a different opinion and a different attitude towards, you know, how I run my life and manage my life. The intentional living is that I recognize that God has blessed me financially and spiritually with my family. I think the intentional living part for me is that I'm finding ways to give back to my community and making that an intentional part of what I do every day.
Hey, I'm glad you're listening. Thank you. Very encouraging. We're talking about worry today. By the way, your comments are welcome. What's one thing you've learned that God's given you some hope and help around this topic of worry and anxiety? 888-888-1717.
I'm a retired preschool teacher, and I took a styrofoam cup and wrote "From me to Jesus" on one side, and then on the other side, "From Jesus to me," and put the worry in the cup. But the cup reminds me that giving something to God means waiting for the answer. If you give it to God and expect nothing from Him, then you likely get nothing. But if you wait for the second half of the prayer, the part where God talks to you, then your worries just melt away into His hands, and He helps you solve every problem that comes along. And it kind of started, I read a book by Charles Stanley, and he said, the secret to my life has been learning to listen to God at an early age. And so if you have a choice with worry, you can listen to God, or you can listen to your worries.
Yeah, very true. Thank you, Charles. Styrofoam cup, you know, one of the things he really teaches us there is that sometimes you need to have a physical reminder. Those of us who tend to be tactile, maybe there's some things that help you. Maybe it's a sign on the wall or scripture verse, or maybe it's a thing you wear around your wrist. I don't know. I wear a wristband that says one thing on it, which reminds me about this thing of the power of one thing every day, whatever thing it may be, to grow closer to Christ, bring Him glory and benefit to myself, my family. Maybe if for you, you need something like that helps you, whatever it is, a styrofoam cup or what have you. But it can be a powerful reminder of God's intentional love for you, even when you worry. We got one more caller I think we can get to here. Emmanuel's on the line in Michigan. Emmanuel, how you doing today? How you dealing with this?
Well, there's always a lot to worry about when we let it, for sure. My wife and I have four kids, and she has a full-time job. She's doing a master's degree, and I manage a business from home with her parents. It could be very easy to get consumed with worry, for sure. So one of the things that I've been working on and have done is I found that the best way to deal with my worries is it sounds so simple, but to just be prepared. The more prepared I am in different situations, the less those situations have an opportunity to bring worry into my life.
So you sort of think about it in advance. You're prepared for whatever the next event is.
As best as I can. And of course, no condemnation, but there's always going to be the time that the car breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be the time that my adoptive daughter has a traumatic flashback, and I'm not going to be prepared. Not in the sense to prevent that, but so then to be prepared in my spirit and in my walk with Christ, to have those scriptures shored up.
Is there a go-to verse that you have?
There's a bunch of them. I've always gone to Psalms 91 is great for those that are dealing with fear. I've used that a number of times, especially with my daughter, and Philippians 4, Psalms 91. I can't think of where it's at right now, but we're not given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
Yeah, that's right. But that's a powerful verse. You know, if we're thinking about worry today, we've got some stats that came out from the American Psychiatric Association. From 2024, they said in 2024, 43% of adults say that they feel more anxious than they did the previous year. That's up from 37% in 2023 and 32% in 2022. And in particular, it seems like adults are really concerned about current events, what's going on in the world. We should be. I mean, these are concerns we have. We need to pray for our leaders and for our country. You know, as we wrap up the show today, Dana, I think you got some things you want to share that are really specific things that might be helpful as people are facing this thing of worry. So what is it that you have learned?
Well, you know, just like the favorite foods we eat is never just one ingredient. It's usually several things that are blended together for a total effect. So I have kind of a recipe of three things that I try to do each day that really help me. In no particular order, exercise is a big one. We had a previous caller that addressed that. Right. Went for a 20-mile bike ride this morning, and I get off the bike. I'm tired, but you're invigorated. You kind of clean the sludge out, and it really helps. The next thing is music, praise and worship music, or classical music, music that ascends and that soars. And there's lots of evidence that tells us that music can supplement your intelligence quotient, your emotional quotient. So, and then you can combine physical activity with music. You can listen to something while you're working out, and now you get kind of a double dip. And the last thing that I think is maybe the most important is affectionate physical touch with the people that mean the most to you. That could be your spouse or your children. It could be picking up a cat and let the cat purr in your lap, or having a dog lick your face. But affectionate physical in touch is vital to our spirit and our soul. So by combining those three, I find that I really, for the most part, eliminate all worry and anxiety from my life. Good.
And then adding on that, obviously, trust in the Lord. The scripture is very clear on that. That's a key. All right. Thank you, Dana. For everybody participating, if you missed the first show, the first half hour in this, it was last Monday, a week ago, and you can check out where that's available on our archives through our website. Share this with others. Maybe you know someone who's struggling with worry today. Go to theintentionallife.com. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Stephen. Not too worried. We're just trusting God, but we will be back again tomorrow, Lord willing, with more intentional living right here from Intentional Life Media. Have a great day.